Thank you, Elder Roth. Thank you again for joining with us today. I want to bring a word to you that I believe that God has put on my heart today. When you hear the topic of what I want to bring and talk about the next few moments, you may think it's not really appropriate for the time that we're living in. And what I want to talk about today is living free. Living free. You may say, well, this would be a great sermon for a time when we have the liberty to gather back together and worship God like we're used to worshiping and be able to do the things outside of our home that we're used to doing and living life normal. But the living free that I want to talk about today and encourage you in is the living free that we can have as a lifestyle. And it's not based on our circumstances or based on our surroundings necessarily, but it's based on who God is. People come from all over the world to be in America because we're the land of the free. We're known for freedom. But it's only by Jesus Christ that we can have freedom in our hearts today, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what you're facing, no matter where you are in life, no matter the struggles that you're facing, and they are real. Many are health struggles, many are financial struggles, many are relationships. There are all sorts of struggles. There are struggles on what are we going to do? We talked last week about fear, and God has called us not to fear. There's no fear in perfect love. About 20 years ago, I was part of a team that went into the federal prison in Jessup, Georgia, every single week. We were into the federal prison every week for many years. And as we began to go in, we would take equipment. We would take keyboard and drums and microphones, and we'd worship, sing, and preach and pray. And it was a full-blown worship service every single week. But we experienced these men in that federal prison, and many times it was over 100 men packed into a small room each week. Experienced and witnessed these men come to a state of freedom in their hearts that was only found by a relationship in God and maturing in Christ. And they were able to do that even in the confines of physical walls. They still experienced a freedom in them that, after being in church nearly all my life, that I didn't see from Sunday to Sunday in people that had the freedom to come and go in church. I saw a different, and I witnessed a different level of freedom in the hearts of these men, even confined to a federal prison. That's the freedom that I want to talk about today. The freedom that I believe that God wants us to live in, to experience every single day, is a freedom that's found in Him, not based on our circumstances. I know there's a healing from freedom, there's a healing from pain, there's a healing from hurts, disappointments in life, and we can come to that healing. And I pray that we do. I pray that we come to that healing, and we talked about that last week. But when we come to that place of healing and God extends His hand and heals us inside of us from all the experiences in life and the disappointments and the scars and all those things, we've got then to learn to live in a state of freedom and not to battle over those things, the guilt and the problems from those past things that we were healed from, that Christ has come to heal us from. There's a state of freedom that we need to live in, and it would be a lifestyle of living free. That's the truth of God's word. And so there's a life of freedom, no matter our limitations, no matter our surroundings, that I want to encourage you in today, that we can embrace that. Our focus scripture today is John 8:32. And John 8:32 says this, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we're given the key to experiencing freedom. It says it will make us free. What will make us free? It's not only the truth, but the knowing of the truth. Many of us, it's not that we're not exposed to the truth. I was raised up in church, and I was exposed to truth, but it was a matter of me making a decision to know the truth, not to just be exposed to it, not to just be around it, but it was to know the truth, make it part of my DNA, make it part of who I am, to where I live in the truth. I know the truth, and I cause the truth to change me. Simply knowing about the truth or being exposed to the truth until we know it, until we make it part of our life, we can't live in the truth of freedom that Jesus is talking about here in John 8:32. We've to know the truth, that it's part of who we are. A main ingredient of truth is that truth never changes. The truth found in God's word, it never changes. It never varies. The same truth that we're going to talk about today is the same truth that was written many, many years ago. That truth stands. Facts change. We see that on the news every day. Facts change. Circumstances change. Your circumstances, my circumstances, our needs change, our hopes change. All these things, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but the truth is always the truth. The truth that Jesus speaks about, it never varies, it never changes. The Bible says that he is the same, speaking of God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is truth, and truth is God. But how can we know truth? How can we dwell in truth? We've been exposed to it, but how can we make it part of who we are, to be made aware of truth, but yet to know and to make it part of who we are? How is your outlook? Is your outlook based on the truth of God's word, or is your outlook based on the circumstances? Is what we're expecting to come tomorrow and next week and the week after, is it based on God's word and the truth that he tells us in his word, or is it based on the circumstances? Is it based on what, who says what on the news? And do we guide our lives by Fox News or CNN News, or do we guide our lives by the truth of God's word? What is our outlook like? What are we expecting? What are we looking for? I believe that if we ground our expectations on the truth of God's word, we can expect good things to come out of it, no matter the circumstances, no matter the place that we find ourselves. There are disappointments, and to tell you the truth is that we will have tribulation. We will have issues. We will have problems. We'll read about that in just a moment. But standing on the truth of God's word, it does not vary. It does not change. And we can be prosperous in all of our ways by abiding in the truth of God's word and not on the circumstances that we see. We don't know when we'll gather together as a body. We are ready to open those front doors and to welcome you in on a Sunday. And we want to do that. But you know what? Jesus is the same today that he will be when we have that huge celebration of gathering together again on a weekend and including a Sunday together and to lift up the name of Jesus. He's still the same God today. The truth is still the same today, and that's what I want to communicate to you today. When I was young, probably like most of us, when I was young, my mom and dad would give me instructions, and they would say, okay, you need to do this, and you can't do that. You've been going a little too fast on the curves on the backyard and that mini bike. You need to slow down a little bit. You may hurt yourself. You know, so they would give me instructions that was really for my good, that was really to help protect me. And there was one question, one word question that I always pitched back to them that we're guilty of today, and that is, why? Why? And you know what the answer was back to me? Because I said so. They gave me instruction that was for my good, but I didn't understand it. So my response was, why? I want to understand why you're telling me to do this. And so God has given us instructions today. He's given us truth, and we're going to talk about that. I'm going to give you 4 points to experiencing truth today in just a moment. But if we don't apply those things, if we want to know why, and we're waiting for a response, an explanation, and a definition to his instruction, then many times we're sitting on the sidelines not being obedient to God, and we cheat ourselves out of the promise that God has given us. God has a promise for you today. God has blessings for you today. God has, I mean, even before you were thought of, before we were in our mom's womb, he knew who we were. He knew our name. He knew the number of hairs on our head. He knew all about us, and he planned for us a great, prosperous, successful life, and including tribulation. He still planned those things out. But if we always want to know why he's given us the instruction, why do we need to do the things that he says to do? Why can't we just have things good and not have to do things in order to get those things that are good? We ask why, and he says, because I said so. God's word is truth because he said so. We have to trust God. God gave the Israelites a promise. God gave the Israelites a promise, and God gave the promise in Exodus chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. And God's promise is clear here in Exodus 6, 7 and 8. He says, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know, look at that word, then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. See, there was bondage there. There was all things that that God didn't want them in. There were hard times, there were problems, there was bondages, do you have anything holding you back today? God wants to bring you out of that place, and he's promised you something better. So God told them that he was going to bring them out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and he goes on to say, I will bring you into the land which I swore to give you to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. Why? Because I said so. God said so. He made the promise. And then a little later on in Joshua chapter 14 in verse 10, some 40 years later, 40 years? God, why couldn't you make it happen then? He could. But they were trying to figure out a different way to get to it than the way that God said to get to it. Joshua 14:10 says, after they arrived, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, and he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel was wandering in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. What happened in the timeline from God's promise in the revelation or the revealing or the acceptance of God's promise to actually put their hands on the soil of that promised land? There was not a hindrance by God. There was a hindrance by man. The same humans that hindered them from going into that promised land are the same humans that I am and you are today. We're the same humans. We're the same blood and flesh, the same mind, the same intellect, the same why, the same why. Why can't I do it this way? Why can't I do it that way? Why can't things be different? Why can't God just answer my prayer? Why can't this happen, that happen? God's saying, here is your instruction. Here's your instruction. Abide in that, and the promise will come. God's promise is, if you want to call it etched in stone, God's promise is there. God's promise is yes and amen. God's promise is truth. What will we do? The points on this two story of the Israelites is that God's promise, God's truth, always stands. But the Israelites, number two, the Israelites were detained from enjoying God's promise by their own lack of believing God's truth and following God's instruction. We've got to believe God's truth to the point that we want to follow his instruction. It doesn't matter why. It doesn't matter what God is doing behind the scene. It doesn't matter that there's a root system under the ground that he's planting that huge oak tree to come up. We've got to have faith and trust in him. God, this is your promise, this is your truth, and I will follow your instruction. And so God is doing some things right now, even in the midst of this coronavirus, even in the midst of our being detained, even in the midst of maybe you being confined more so than what you ever have been in your entire life. There are a lot of us that had never, most of us have never ever experienced a time like we're living in today, but God's promise is truth. He's still God. There are struggles. And God knew that there would be struggles. God knew that there would be some things that we'd have to wrestle with in our flesh. But sometimes our struggle is really a reluctancy to try something new. This is something new for the church. I had somebody send me something, joking the other day and says, well, here all of a sudden my pastor's a televangelist. And that's not me at all. That's not most of us. But we're trying to communicate the word of God in whatever means we can. We're trying something new. God is good about busting you out of your comfort zone. He's good about busting you right out. I mean, hey, I was fine with doing things the way we've done them for the last 10 years, and that is to meet you here on Sunday and Monday night prayer and Wednesday night Bible study and all the things that we had going on during the week. I was perfectly happy with that. God was answering prayers and God was doing great things, but here we are, no surprise to God, we're trying something different. Not by my preference, but we're trying something new. Why? Because that's the way God works. God is good about busting us out of our little comfort zone shell. He brought them from Egypt to the promised land. Why? Because he wanted them to try something new. There's a path to newness. There's a path to your promise that we can't be reluctant to try something new. That we can't be reluctant to veer off the uncharted territory. Sometimes tradition can stand right in the way of us experiencing God. Well, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way we've always approached things. This is the podium that I've always stood behind to preach, so I've got to preach here on Sunday. I can't bring a table up here. You see, we're all wanting to stay in our comfort zone. We're all not wanting to pull away from tradition. We're reluctant in doing what God's called us to do, and we delay God's promise by our reluctancy. The Israelites did get out of that place of slavery. They did get out of that bondage. They did experience freedom, but it was after they did what God told them to do. God's truth is available to us today if we'll stand on His word. Is our outlook the promised land, or is our outlook the circumstances? God, if you'll change this thing in my life, then I might can go to the next level. If you'll cause this thing to work out, I know you said you'll cause it to work for good, but I need it to work for good today so that I can go to the next level. So we put stipulations on God when God says, trust me with this thing and I will bring you the promise. We're all in this together. I want to encourage you today to live free, to live free, to face the challenges in your life, to face the obstacles in your life, and even to face the temptations along life's way to get our eyes off of God and put it on circumstances. We will face challenges, we will face obstacles, and we will, even in our human form, have temptations to get our eyes off of God onto other things. But I want to encourage you today. A passage that is very, very fitting for today, and I'll get into those 4 points. A passage that's very fitting for today is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And this is what it says, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Perilous times, another word for that is terrible times. As I heard one pastor say, this is not necessarily a scripture that you want to hang on your refrigerator door to see every morning, but it's in the Word of God. But know this, that in the last days terrible times will come. Praise God. Verse 2. For men will be lovers of themselves. Here's, God's given us insight now into what's causing this, many of this, much of this. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. I may have just explained a family reunion right there. But this is the real world that we're living in. All these things, these are terrible times. And it's describing to us our human obstacles that will hinder us from freedom. Can you identify with any of these that I just read here in 2 Timothy? The devil does not want you to live free. So the devil will cause these things to try to be part of your daily life. But the plan of your enemy is for you to be in bondage. We can live in America, we can live free, we can have no problems and no struggles, and still live in bondage right in our heart. It says in John 10:10 what the enemy is up to. The enemy is up to, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. Well, if that's not an enemy, I don't know what is. But look what Jesus says in the latter part of John 10:10. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life, that's speaking of you and me, may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. That's abundant life. That's more than enough. That's blessings. That's prosperity. That's success. Well, how can you do that in the middle of all these things that we just read in 2 Timothy? Is that not a contradiction? Not at all. We see what the devil wants to do and the bondage that he wants to have us in, but then we see here what Jesus has come to do to cause us to be free, to have life, and more abundant life. How can we live free? The first thing, this is real earth shattering. I hope you're sitting down. The first thing is be happy. Be happy. Well, how can I be happy? Do you realize what's going on right now in my life? Do you realize what I'm dealing with? Proverbs 17:22 says this, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A merry heart does good like medicine. God wants you to be happy. Not based on the circumstances, but happy based on how big, how marvelous, how awesome He is. God is awesome today as much as He was ever awesome. He's not old and feeble and unable to answer your prayers. God is very much on the throne. God is very much alive, and He's very much aware of what's going on today. And He has a plan. He's not coming up short. He's not shy. He's not taking a break. He's not off doing something else. God is for you. God is not against you. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Nehemiah 8:10 says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, For the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's for somebody today. Be happy. How can you be happy? Be close to God. If being close to God is our strength, He gives us the joy that we need. Be happy, not based on the circumstances. You know, we're happy when everything is good, but can we still be happy when everything is bad? Yes, you can. Why? Because God is still God. God is still faithful. God has a promise. God is for you and not against you. The Bible says happiness is like a good medicine. Spending time in God's presence. Really, what we needed now is a perfect time. I believe that God is using this to do that, is to get back in the presence of God. Build a relationship with Him, not just on Sunday, not just when the preacher's talking, not just when something's being said, not when somebody just puts out a great article and we read that, getting it from somebody else. But God wants to have a relationship with Him, to get into His presence with Him, and it's in His presence. The Bible says there's fullness of joy, Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life." The path of life in your presence, that's capital Y, in your presence is fullness of joy. You will never be happier than when you're happy in God's presence. God will make you so happy that you can't be any more happy than in His presence. Because it says there's fullness of joy. At your right hand, He goes on to say, at your right hand are pleasures temporarily. Not at all. It says pleasures forevermore. That means always. That means from the beginning to the present time to the future time, there's pleasures forevermore. How can there be pleasures forevermore? Surely God has got to let me win the lottery so I can have pleasure forevermore. It's not based on the lottery. It's not based on health. It's not based on relationships. It's not based on everything falling in line that you speak and it'll happen just as you speak it. It's not all those things. It's because we have a relationship with God. We're in His presence. We live, we breathe in His presence, and we get the strength that we need from the presence of God. And He says the fullness of joy comes out of His presence. We have to choose to be happy. We have to choose to be happy. You know, God could pour His presence on us and He could say, "Mike, I'm giving you a blessed life. I've got everything worked out. Be happy." And I've got to choose to be happy. God's not going to make me happy. He's not going to slap me and say, "Get happy." We've got to choose to be happy. We sure can't trust our feelings. Tomorrow morning, what if we wake up and we're not happy? And I base my entire day on me not feeling happy. My feelings aren't necessarily the way I should live by. I should live by the truth of God's word. And He says He causes me to be happy. Happiness can't be based on our feelings. Happiness can't be based on circumstances. If so, then it'll be up one day and down the next. We'll be happy one minute, sad the next. I remember several years ago, we had an elderly lady in our church. Her name was Rosie Butler, a sweet, sweet, dear lady. And Miss Rosie Butler was in the hospital one day. And Elder Denny and myself went to see her. She was in the hospital, matter of fact, for many, many weeks. And we went to see her. And lo and behold, we walked in that room, and she is smiling from ear to ear. She's telling us of how good God is and telling us all the things that are going on. And yes, you know, based on the facts weren't good. She was in bad health, and she was having some problems that were beyond even the doctor's ability to correct. And so they kept her there, and they did all the things that they knew to do for Miss Rosie. But her attitude, her outlook was always good. Why? Because she loved God with all her heart. She would talk about all the times that she would fix food for her neighbors and her children and grandchildren and all those that would come over. She loved doing for people. She loved God. She loved her church. She loved her pastor and the people with her in church. Her outlook was great. We walked out of that room that day and thinking, wow, she encouraged us. She's sick, laying on her deathbed. And lo and behold, she encouraged us to be happy because of her outlook was centered and focused on God and not on circumstances. It wasn't even based on the doctor's report. She knew the doctor's report. She knew what they were saying, but her outlook was based on how big God is. That's the freedom that we've got to walk in today, is knowing how big our God is and to be happy that God gives us a promise that He will come through every time. Psalm 19:14 gives us a perfect prayer to pray every day. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Second instruction to living free is appreciate life. Appreciate life. Be thankful for life. Every single moment that God gives us is a blessing. It's a miracle. How He can cause a seed in our mother's womb to develop into a live, living, breathing body and give us the life that he's given us. We should appreciate life. We should appreciate every single moment that God gives us. This is Paul's outlook in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. He says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. What an outlook. Being thankful, being appreciative. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. In everything? Only when things are good? No. In everything. That's a reflection of my heart to God. Lord, I appreciate life. I appreciate all that you're doing, even in the circumstances that are difficult. In everything give thanks. It goes on to say in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. God's will for us is to be thankful, to appreciate life. When it's raining, be thankful. When we're fighting, when we're struggling, when we're trying to make ends meet and try to do the things, be thankful. That doesn't mean that we take our responsibility lightly. We take it seriously, but we're thankful. It's a heart of being thankful. And when you're blessed, be thankful. When you're at the bottom, be thankful. The third instruction to living free is think truth. Well, if truth is truth, why do I have to think truth? We have to think truth because what's in our mind gets into our heart and comes out into our actions. It's kind of like the computer. What comes out of that computer is what's been put into it. What we feed into our mind, into our spirit, is what's going to come out. In our hardest times, when we're pushed to our farthest, whatever we put in prior to that is what's going to come out. Psalm 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Are we trusting in God? Are we believing God's word? Are we walking in God's truth? Well, as we do that, as we feed that into our mind and our spirit, and I love to say this, when you're reading the word of God, read it out loud. Because it's not only going in your heart, but it's also going in your ears. And that's the way faith is built. Faith is built by what you're hearing. So we can read the word of God, but when you read the word of God out loud, you're actually hearing it. You're getting a double dose. It's coming in here and going in there, which winds up down here. For as he thinks in his heart, what I'm thinking comes out into my actions, right? And so we've got to be careful. Our thinking process. Are we thinking truth or are we thinking negative? Are we thinking for God or anti-God? Are we thinking there are answers or are we thinking there's problems? What are we thinking about? There will always be problems. There always has been problems. You say, well, Pastor Mike, do I have anything to worry about? Absolutely. You've got a lot you can worry about. But why don't we get our focus on the truth of God's word? We could worry, but we could also be thankful. For as we think in our hearts, so are we. Robert Schuller said this, problems are not stop signs, they're guidelines. We can allow the problems in life guide us right into God answering prayer rather than stopping us or hindering us or holding us back. Problems are not there for that. Problems, when we get through the problems, we see just how big God is. God, that had to be you because there was no other way for me to come out of this except by the hand of God. How can we change our way of thinking? Well, God's got an answer for that too. How can we think faith? How can we think God's word? How can we think truth? In Romans 12:2, it gives us the answer. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world. See, God even knew then that there will be a tendency and a temptation for us to think like the world, anti-God. But don't be conformed to this world, the Bible says in Romans 12:2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's kind of like deleting the old files, wiping it, and putting in the good stuff. And here's the good stuff right here. Here's the good stuff. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and watch this word, perfect. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's how powerful thinking truth is. That's how powerful our mind, the health of our mind, lining up with the word of God is. We can retrain our minds to think truth. I love this passage in Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, there's that word again, true. What's true? God's word is true. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, If there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. These are the things that we are to meditate on. These are the things that we need to focus on and to have our mind renewed in. This is what will give us a life of living free, free of any of the cares and the burdens and the fears and the struggles of this life. And fourth, finally, the fourth instruction to living free is to give God total control. That's a surrender. Give God control. As we give God control, we're surrendering, saying, God, I'm taking my hands off this thing. Please, God, put your hands on this and cause this to work together for good. I can't cause it to work together for good. You can't cause it to work together for good. But God promises that he will cause it to work together for good. But we've got to give control to God. God, I don't want to control this anymore. I don't want to try to make this happen. I don't want to manipulate it. That's a strong word, isn't it? But that's what we do when our hands are on it. God, there's no room for God's hands because our hands are covering it. But when we step back and say, God, this is dear to my heart. I love this and I want this to happen in this way. And we can express our desire to God. But as we give God control, that gives him control then to do things and to lead truth and to direct us to the promise that he's already destined for our lives. Every day our human tendency is to take control. Every day is our human tendency is to, well, let me help this alone a little bit. That's our human tendency. But don't limit your success by your control. See, your success will be limited if you're trying to take control. But our success is unlimited when we let God take control. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then in 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care, that's everything, your fear, your anxieties, your worry, your concerns. We talked about that last week. Casting all your care. That's releasing control and giving God control. We release that to him, casting our care upon him, for he cares for you. God is for you. The promises of God for Moses were established 40-some years earlier before they reached the promise, before they felt the soil, before they knew that they were there. Listen, we don't have to wait 40 years. We trust God. We let him have control. We give him everything that we've got. We say, God, I want to speak truth. I want to live truth. I want to live free of all the cares and burdens of this life. And he will cause us to do that as we turn it over to him. His heart is for us to live free. His heart is for us to live by his means and not by our means. Our means are limited. Our understanding is limited. But Christ is unlimited. For us to refocus today and have a Christ-centered outlook. Christ, you are, Jesus, you are the center of my life. You hold everything in your hands. As I was thinking yesterday, there's a song, I'm going to ask Crystal to come up and stand with me. There was a song yesterday that I was thinking about that we used to sing in Sunday school. And that song, I've had it on my mind this morning too and yesterday, was he has the whole world in his hands. I mean, picture the entire world in the hand of God. God has the whole world in his hands. And he is so big that it just fits in the palm of his hand. The world is not bigger than God. God is bigger than the world. Your care, your concern is not bigger than God, but God is bigger than your care and bigger than your concern. There's a life of freedom that I believe God wants you to live in today. And I want to pray that you release that thing. Release whatever's holding you back. Release Egypt. Release bondage. And let's take the path to the promised land. God's promises are yes and amen. God's promises are truth. God's promises stand. They don't vary. And he's given us a way to live free today as we trust him, as we give him our life. Turn everything over to him. Release control to God today. So I want us to pray. We love you. We're standing with you. Just stretch your hand out today. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your spirit today. We thank you, Lord, that even the internet can't separate your hand from them today. There's nothing too far, God, that you can't reach down right now, Lord, and touch those. Lord, I pray for peace. Even our leadership team that's in here with us this morning in the sanctuary. Lord, I pray for just a newfound freedom in you. A freedom that we've never experienced because, Lord, we've never released total control to you. Lord, I pray that there be a release today to allow you, Lord, to take control. Lord, I pray that we experience a life of freedom. Lord, we're putting things behind us, but God, I pray that we don't have a tendency to pull them with us, that they're not connected to us. But Lord, today I pray for a release in spirits and minds today, that we will live free. Lord, I pray that during this time that we have, that we aren't living life as we once knew it, and that is being able to go and come as we want to, maybe being detained, maybe being in the inside of four walls more than we're accustomed to. Lord, I pray that even during this time that our faith in you will build, that our trust in you will build. And God, we'll live into freedom the way that you called us to. Lord, you laid down your life so that we could live free of bondage, live free of guilt, live free of pain, but to trust you, Lord, like Miss Rosie did, laden on that bed that day. Lord, thanking you for all the things that you've done. Thank you for all the things that you're doing, and thanking you for all the things that you are about to do. We love you, Jesus. We thank you that you're our God and our King. I pray now, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. And may the Lord live a life, lift the light of his countenance upon you, and give you his awesome peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll be on YouTube tomorrow, Vimeo tomorrow. We're here at the church office. If you need us in any way, let us know. We love you and we're praying for you. And we'll talk to you soon. God bless you.